Welcome to our podcast on alterations. I have with me Alero Oromoloi, who is a long-standing advisor at the Leasehold Advisory Service. Alero, I live in a top-floor flat. It is held on a lease, although I do not have a copy of the documents on me. It's a one-bedroom flat. There is a loft space directly above and under the roof. I would like to build in the loft space, maybe carry out some alterations or create another bedroom. Possibly I will need to get the local council involved to get building regulations consent and perhaps planning permission. But is there anything else I should be concerned about?
It's a very good question you asked, Nicholas. And one of the main things that you should be concerned about is whether or not that loft space is part of your property, that is part of your demise premises. Because if it isn't, then you wouldn't have a right to extend into it, even if you are the only one that has access to it. So it'll be important to establish that first from the wording of your lease. Now, if the lease includes the loft space as part of your demise premises, then on the face of it, you will probably have the right to extend into it. It's quite important to identify whether or not your extension will go beyond the roof space and perhaps into some airspace above. And a court of appeal had to decide this in a case called Davis and Yadagar, reported in 1990. And what the court of appeal held that if a house is divided into two flats and the upper flat is granted the roof space, the presumption is also that the airspace above the roof is demised also. So if part of your extension works will go into the airspace above the loft space, then the Court of Appeal gives you the right to do so. So you would need to, as it were, buy that extra bit of space from the freeholder. Now, the importance of the extent of your demise premises cannot be overemphasized. This is very important in order for you to be in a position to carry out any extension works. You would have thought that the converse would be the same about the subsoil. So if you wanted to carry out some works, perhaps to the extending to the garden space of your property, then you would think, well, I should be able to do so as well. But this isn't always the case. And in a Court of Appeal case of Lejeune Vaughan and Cromwell Mansions Management Limited, the leaseholder who wanted to excavate into the subsoil of the beneath his basement flat was told that he couldn't because the court held that foundations are in a different class of their own. There is a difference between developing upwards into a roof void and digging into the foundations. And the court held that he couldn't carry out the alteration works that he wanted to carry out. Now, once you've established that this is part of your property, you would then need to look at the lease to see if you could, to see whether or not you can carry out alterations. And if so, whether you would require the freeholder's or the landlord's consent. If the lease contains a clause that allows you to carry out the alterations, but with the landlord's consent, then it's advisable to obtain that consent before you start to carry out the works. Now, most leases, if they have a clause that permit alterations with landlord's consent, would contain an additional proviso that says that the landlord's consent cannot be unreasonably withheld. Even if it doesn't say that specifically, it is going to be implied by law. And the statutory provisions for this are in Section 19 of the Landlord and Tenant Act 1927. So the lease says you can carry out alterations. The landlord's consent cannot be unreasonably withheld. If you approach the landlord and the landlord seeks to unreasonably withhold consent, then it is possible for you to make an application to court, to your local county court. It's a matter of fact whether or not the landlord is unreasonably withholding consent. In one case that went to the local county court for a declaration, this case of Lozato and Davaraj, reported on 19th of June 2002, John Jarvis QC ruled that a landlord had acted unreasonably in refusing consent to a leaseholder's roof extension works because he feared that it would lead to a loss of light to the rear windows of other property that he owned. So it's not enough for the landlord just to refuse consent because they have some kind of spurious reason for doing so. It's got to be quite factual. and, you know, one that a reasonable landlord would have arrived at the same conclusion as well.
Okay, thanks, Alero. Thinking about it, if the landlords do decide to give me consent, but they plan to charge me for giving that consent, can they just charge me anything they want?
No, they can't, Nicholas. I mean, the landlord has got to be reasonable in arriving at a figure for granting consent. And the leasehold, what used to be the Leasehold Valuation Tribunal, now known as the First Tier Tribunal Property Chamber, has the jurisdiction to determine whether or not a landlord's administration charge is reasonable. This is in accordance with Schedule 11 of the Common Hold and Leasehold Reform Act 2002. So you can apply to the tribunal for the determination of the reasonableness of those administration charges. Now, lots of matters have been decided by the tribunal about what is reasonable. Some have cut down the landlord's fees to about £40 or £50 for giving consent. Again, you've got to bear in mind that there might be other costs to pay apart from the landlord's administration charge for giving consent, such as the landlord's solicitor's fees for drawing up a licence, or a surveyor's fees for reviewing your building plans and that sort of thing. So again, bear that in mind. But it's not for the landlord to go on a frolic of his own in respect of how much he can charge. It's got to be a reasonable administration charge for granting that consent.
Thank you. I get cold feet when people talk about courts and tribunals. Is there any other method of sorting this all out?
Well, there are a number, actually, what we would call the alternative dispute resolution methods, mediation being one of the most, I suppose, accessible ones, because, you know, the role of the mediator is there to simply mediate. So it is possible to avoid courts and tribunals and those kinds of places by suggesting perhaps to the landlord mediation is a form of alternative dispute resolution. It's a cheaper method. It seeks to, you know, place the parties in the place that they would like to be, having narrowed down the issues that are in dispute. So again, you don't have to go to tribunal or court. You can suggest mediation to the landlord as a way of resolving any dispute about the administration charges or the granting of the consent.
Thank you, Alero, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.